For a few minutes this morning, I'd like to use a portion, several portions of the Word of the Lord. If I have a thought that I would want you to remember, it would be out of the 23rd chapter of the book of Luke, 46th verse. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. The Apostle Paul, in his writings, and again, I would remind you that all Scripture is written under inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. As he was coming down to his final time here upon the face of the earth, said to the young preacher Timothy, "The time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. And the time of my departure is at hand." At the time that Luke recorded, or at the time that Luke records here, Jesus is at that point to where he is saying, "The time of my departure is at hand." I want you to notice this morning and the verse that I read to you, that it starts out by saying, "And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice." The old prophet Elijah, when he had challenged the prophets of Baal and of the groves to prove who was God, had said to them, as they began to call upon the names of their gods and were unable to get an answer, he said, "Maybe you better get a little louder. Maybe your God is asleep and needs to be awakened. Or maybe he can't hear you and you just need to get a little louder." Now, I've always said this, and I believe it with everything there is about me, that loud preaching isn't any better or any more effective than a preacher who talks in a normal tone of voice. Unfortunately, I'm one of those people who get a little loud. And I have, over the years, I've found that the thing that I have to be careful of is that I don't try to change it, because the more I change it, the worse it gets. So just to spare you a little bit of agony this morning, I'll not try to tone it down, because if I do, it'll go up. And so I've learned to accept that fact. But I've always said that thunder is not what kills people. Lightning is what'll get them. So, you know, for those of you who are afraid of the storms, and Ronnie mentioned in his prayer, and certainly I appreciated that, and we all need to be remembering those people who over the night experienced all of the tragedies that's happened in their lives, some of the tornadoes that tore through again our part of the country. And so we need to keep those people in our prayers. But praying does not necessarily have to be loud. It does not necessarily have to be long. It does not necessarily have to be something that everybody else can hear. The Lord is able and does know what the thoughts and the intents of our heart is. That's where it's going to count. It's not how many words, it's not how loud we are. But I do want you to notice that three of the four writers of the gospel, as they wrote concerning this incident, said, "cried again with a loud voice." Jesus had no intention that there were not going to be people who were going to hear him as he hung here between heaven and earth. And as he said in the beginning of the sayings from the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And this is the second time now that he's going to call him his Father. And he's going to ask his Father again for a favor. And he's going to say with a loud voice, "I commend my spirit." And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now then, I want you to notice that Mark said, and Jesus cried with a loud voice, and John said, and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. In the 10th chapter of the book of John, Jesus said, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Now, I think it's important that we understand that Jesus, as he hang here and is ready now, after he has said it is finished, after he has completed everything that had been left for him to do or had been assigned for him to do, and he's finished everything, and he's ready to go back to his Father, that he says, in effect, I have the right, I have the privilege, I have the ability to lay my life down. No man's taking it from me. You've heard me say a number of times that I have difficulty as I read this particular portion of the Word of the Lord about how that Jesus was treated after that he was taken prisoner and the treatment that he experienced as to how I have a tendency to want to be upset with those people and how they treated him. But I recognize that that was done because of me. That was done because he cared about me and he cared about each one of you. So we need to understand this morning that Jesus, when he was here, he willingly went and gave his life. He was not forced into it. He didn't. So he said, I have the power, I have the ability. I lay down my life. I lay my life down that I might take it again. So we need to understand this morning. I was telling the deacons this morning that I'd had a message from Diamla this morning. She said, Dad, I've been thoroughly enjoying your messages the past few weeks about the cross. But she says, I'm ready for the resurrection. And I wrote a little note back and said, next Sunday. Well, hopefully that's going to be the case. But listen, I want us to look as Jesus is here and as he cries out with a loud voice. We today, we want to be loud about everything except the Lord. Yeah, you know, we really do. We don't mind to let people know how we feel about all different types of situations and all kinds of people and everything. We're not hesitant whatsoever. But when it begins to come to time to talk about the Lord, we want to be very careful that we don't offend anyone, that we don't hurt anyone, that we don't say anything that would upset anyone. And so consequently, we get to the point to where that we're not with the Apostle Paul when he said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. We need to understand this morning there is nothing about the gospel, about the good news that we should be ashamed of. Now I've spent 6 weeks, I don't know whether y'all have been counting or not, I over 2 months ago knew where I was going to go. I knew what I was going to be doing. I didn't know how it was going to go. But for the past 6 weeks, I have been talking about the time that Jesus was on the cross. 6 weeks. I'm not real sure that I've been able to get the message across, and it isn't important as to whether or not I know that or not. But let me assure you this morning that I am not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done. We sang the song this morning. Some of the songs fit right in. The Old Rugged Cross. And that's a song that, you know, we need to be very familiar with. We need to know about the Old Rugged Cross. Joyce spoke about the cross. Had one here with her this morning. We need not be ashamed of that. But we also need to understand this morning that this was part of the price that the Lord Jesus Christ paid that you and I might have the privilege that we have to be here this morning to worship Him and to serve Him. And as we serve Him, we should not be ashamed. Neither should we be hesitant to speak out for Him, to let people know that we are not ashamed. And you know, we sometimes get to the point to where we use that as a cop-out and an excuse. Oh, I don't want to offend anyone. Let me tell you something. The gospel has always been offensive. It has always been offensive. And I'll tell you who it's offensive to. It's offensive to lost people. It's offensive to them because it condemns them. The gospel, the good news, condemns them. The good part of the news is, though, that when it condemns them, then God allows His Spirit to work in their hearts so that He can convert them. That's the good part about it. But let me tell you something this morning. We just offhandedly say, you know, we're all sinners. We are. We are. And we got this idea that everybody is one of God's children, which is not true. You know, we just need to get some things straight, folks. It took a tremendous price for us to have the privilege of being one of His children. When He hung here, He bowed His head and gave up the ghost. But before He did that, He said, "Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit." Remember earlier, He had not been able to call Him His Father. He said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me?" But He's back now to His Father. I want to read to you let me turn to John 17. I think that's where I want to go to. 24:26. Well, I was already there. I had it. "Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given me be with me where I am." And this is what Jesus is saying as He talks to His Father. As He talks to His Father prior to His going to the cross. And He has a rather lengthy conversation with the Father. Sometimes we need to have some lengthy conversations with the Lord. It's not just enough for us to say, "Now lay me down to sleep, or pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, pray the Lord my soul to take." Some of you don't even remember that. I've said it hundreds and hundreds of times on my knees with my kids. You know, I mean, even after they got almost grown, they'd still want Dad to come in and say the prayer with them. "Now lay me down to sleep, pray the Lord and soul to keep." Well, and that's it's good words in it. But sometimes we need to be able to say just a little more than that. Sometimes we need to bow our heads and talk to the Lord. Jesus on this occasion is out here talking with His Father. And He says, "Father, I will that they also which Thou hast given me be with me where I am." See, that He wants us to be with Him where He is. We get into these big discussions today and we talk about heaven and we talk about paradise. And what's the difference in paradise and heaven? And Lord only knows, you all know more about it than I do, because I really don't know the difference. I'm not real sure that it makes a lot of difference to me, because wherever the Lord is, that's where I'm going to be. Call it whatever you want, you know. That's the bottom line. But Jesus said, you know, "I want them to be with me, that they may behold my glory, which Thou hast given me. For Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world." You ever hear me talk? I'm going to hurry along here because I've got some more that I'm going to read to you. But you hear me talk from time to time, and I mention, I say, you know, before God ever created the heavens and the earth, He and the Son and the Holy Spirit were there, and they had a conversation about there was going to come a time when man was going to need a Redeemer. Some probably think, well, where does He get that idea? Well, let me just read to you again what Jesus said to His Father. "But I have known thee, and these have known..." Wait a minute, I skipped the verse there. "Thou hast..." Well, I better back up. "Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which Thou givest me, for Thou lovest me before the foundation of the earth." Before the earth was ever even created. "O righteous Father, the world hath not known Thee, but I have known Thee, and these have known that Thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them Thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith Thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them." Jesus said, those are some of the things, Father, that I want. I want them to be with me. They know that I'm of you and you of me. I want them to have love in their hearts, and I believe that's what he wanted. But as he hang here between heaven and earth, he bowed his head. I started out, when I started thinking about him bowing his head, and I wanted to take the avenue of, let's talk about, why do we bow our heads? Now, let me tell you something. I don't know how you all have been trained. I know how I was trained. As a child, as a kid, and I certainly was not religious by any stretch of the imagination, I was always taught when someone prays, you bow your head and you close your eyes. Yeah. I heard Bob Harrington say one time, he said, I used to believe that and I used to practice that. But he said, then I got to working in the altar services with God's people, and I got to where I didn't trust them. So I keep my eyes open and I watch. And he said, let me tell you why. He says, because the Bible says that they're thieves and robbers. And I didn't want to have my eyes closed whenever I was in there working with thieves and robbers. And so he said, well, somebody said, well, now, that's awful strong. He said, oh, yeah. He said, the Bible says that. They're thieves and robbers because they've robbed me in tithes and offerings. So he said, I knew if they were thieves and robbers and they weren't giving their tithes and offerings, that I wasn't going to trust them if the Lord couldn't trust them either. So anyway, I still trust them all. I still believe in bowing my head and closing my eyes. Now, in a few minutes, I'm going to ask you to be very uncomfortable, some of you probably, because we're going to conclude our service, and at that time, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. I don't want you looking around to see whether everybody else is or not. You don't need to know whether anybody else is or not. You just need to know whether you're going to. Now, I'm not going to make you. I can't make you. Reminds me of the time, and it's getting close to Easter, and it won't be long then we'll have Mother's Day. And some of you heard me tell the story, and I learned a tremendously good lesson out of the whole thing. You can't make people do something if they don't want to. But this goes back to the story. It's not a story. It was an experience I had when I was at. I better be careful because we're taping, so I better just leave out some things here. I forget that sometimes, that, you know, there are a lot of people who watch this other than you all. Yeah, I shouldn't say a lot. I don't know how many watch it. But anyway, I had got up and I said, you know, Mother's Day, I said, now I'll tell you what I want you all to do this morning. A lot of you have your mothers here today. I want you to get up from your pew, wherever you are, and I want you to go sit with your mother. I just want you to do that this morning. That's just kind of what I felt like would be nice if they wanted to do that. Well, I had one young lady in the church. Her mother was there, but she did not want to get up and go sit with her mother. Now, she loved her mother, and I to this day, I think probably all it was, she didn't want to do what I asked her to do. That was the bottom line. And so everybody moves around. It takes a little commotion and time to go on. And so, you know, but people kept looking at her and saying, go sit with your mom. I mean, finally, you could see her face get just about as red as Joyce's jacket there this morning. She grabs her purse and she jumps up to go up and sit with her mother. And when she grabbed her purse, it came open, just spewed everything all over her. Well, that didn't help the situation. Of course, we thought it was funny, but she didn't. She went stomping up. So I learned right then, don't be asking people to do something they don't want to do. So I rarely will ask you to do something that you don't want to do. And I'm not going to make you this morning, but I am going to ask you in just a couple of minutes to bow your head and close your eyes. And I'm going to tell you why I want you to do that. I want you to do that because I want you to think about the Lord as they hang up on the cross. I want you to think about what he had said while he was hanging there. I want you to remember that he suffered for you and for me. And I want you to understand that he did that willingly. There's a song that most every one of you know. It's called 10,000 Angels. We sing it here at the church. Do you know how misrepresentative that is? He could have called 10,000 angels. And you know what we do? We base that on the scripture when Jesus spoke. Listen to what he said. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be? 10,000 angels? You know how many is in a legion? 6,000. You know how many 12 legions of angels would be? 72,000. You know, I understand the writer wasn't necessarily trying to tie it into scripture, but how misrepresentative to us. We think, oh, he could have called 10,000. He could have called 70,000. He could have called 700,000. But he didn't call any of them, because he was going to fulfill the scripture. He was going to go there willingly and hang on the cross and die for every one of us. I don't mean to disparage that, the writer of the song. It's a beautiful song, and we sing it, and I hope you'll keep singing it. But as you sing, he could have called 10,000 angels. I want you to remember, he could have called 70,000 angels too, or 100,000 angels, whatever. And the publican, I want you to listen to this in closing, because some of you are going to say, well, you know, I don't understand this bowing our heads. So now where I started to go while ago was, as I begin to study a little bit and try to find out, okay, why was I taught to bow my head and close my eyes when we pray? Anybody here know? Anybody here know why that I would have been taught that? Maybe you weren't taught that. I was. I was also taught, if I walk into the church and they're praying, you stop until they finish. You're not disruptive. These are just things that... Now, if you come in sometime and somebody's praying, and I've been guilty of this, come in, and I didn't realize that we're praying, I just come prancing on in, that's a different story. But I've not been able yet to put together all of how we got this idea of bowing our heads and closing our eyes. I did find out who we were not supposed to bow to. There's a lot of that in the scripture, who you do not bow to, who you do not pay reverence to. But to me, it's a sign of respect. It's a time whenever that you've shut out everybody around you for at least a minute or two. But I know there's some of you can't stand that. You got to see what's going on. You wonder whether everybody else is doing it or not, you know. That's okay if you're one of those people. I'm not going to make you do anything this morning. But I will tell you this, Jesus, when he had spoken to his Father the last time, said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. When they came by, and I'm going to cover this at a later service, when he came by and thrust the spear in his side, he was already dead, because he had given his life. He had the power to take his life, to give his life, and to be alive again. So I hope that as we close out the service this morning, that you'll remember that as he hung there, he did that for me, he did that for you, he did that for all of us, because he loved us and he wants us to be with him. And my prayer is that every single one of you will be there. I say many times when I do a service at a funeral, and I conclude many times with that, I hope when we gather around the great white throne in heaven, that there's not a one of this number that will be missing. And I mean that here this morning. And the reason that we will be there, it's not because of anything we have ever done, but what he has done. I'm going to ask you at this time, if you will stand. No, wait a minute, let me change that. I'm just going to have you stay seated. Just going to have you stay seated. I'm going to ask Tracy to come. Tracy's going to sing our closing song. It'll be our closing prayer this morning. And I'm going to ask you, as she sings, to bow your head, close your eyes, and to listen to the words as she sings them and think about the man who was hanging there on the cross. Would you do that right now? Go ahead, Tracy.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed. low would be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory for Amen. Amen.
Amen.